Hey, you guys. Good morning. It is Gina Crash. Welcome to Spotlight on Maryland. I'm back in the studio, and our guest is also back in the office because she just started an amazing new job as the new executive director of Movable Feast. Please join me in welcoming Sue Elias to the program. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning, Gina. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my gosh. It's so exciting to talk to you. I can't wait. Congratulations on your new job, first of all.
Thank you. Well, who would have thought, right, starting a new job in the middle of a pandemic, feeding people who are most vulnerable at this time?
Which is absolutely what you do at Movable Feast, and it couldn't be more important. You hear a lot about food insecurity in this pandemic, and a lot of people who, you know, you can't tell the face of hunger sometimes who might need your help. It could be your neighbor, it could be you, it could be your coworker. And thank goodness you guys are there. And where did you, just a real quick background on you, like what brought you to this job? Obviously, it's such a great opportunity, especially now your services are needed more than ever. But what was sort of your journey getting to where you are now?
Sure. Well, I have been working in the nonprofit world for over 25 years. I'm actually originally from Buffalo, New York.
Oh, cool. Everybody I know from Buffalo, I love. That does not surprise me.
But I have been here, my family and I have been here for the last 22 years in Baltimore, and I've been working with nonprofits that really focus on people's basic human needs, housing, homelessness, education, and also have worked very closely with organizations that engage volunteers in helping people meet their basic human needs. So it was really a very natural path to come to Movable Feast. I have had heard so much about the organization. It is so well respected in the community and has such great support. And for me, being in an organization that really upholds the dignity of the human person, that really is able to provide for people's basic needs and is engaging the community to do that, is bringing all different parts, volunteers, staff, donors together to make sure that people who are have chronic illnesses, their basic human needs are met through food. That's how I ended up here. So it's really a culmination of spending 25 plus years in nonprofit work, predominantly in Baltimore.
Gotcha. And we'll definitely get back to the volunteer element, because I like to ask all the nonprofits that we focus on this show, especially now during COVID-19, you know, how that has changed with volunteering and how people, you know, how you're still able to utilize other people's help that want to provide it. So just remind me that we're going to talk about that in a second. But I mean, I know about the great work you guys do because we work with Komen Maryland as a media partner, and we know that there are a lot of their patients and clients rely on your services. But there's a lot of people out there that might not know about Movable Feast's mission, who it serves. So for those who aren't familiar, please let everybody know.
Sure. Well, Movable Feast started a little over 30 years ago during a pandemic, during the AIDS pandemic. And it was really people who saw those who were dying from the disease and were reaching out to provide them with meals and comfort while they were sometimes abandoned by friends and family. And so what Movable Feast does now is that we provide medically tailored meals. So these are meals that are made for people who have chronic and life-threatening illnesses, such as heart disease, kidney disease, diabetes, HIV/AIDS, and also people with cancer. So we're providing those meals delivered right to their door so that they have healthy food to help them to heal and to help them to treat their disease through food. And we also provide other supportive services, so medical transportation. We provide grocery bags. During the pandemic, we've provided bags of care items such as hand sanitizer, soap, masks. So we're really meeting people with chronic and long-term illnesses where they are in their home and helping them by providing them with the medically tailored food that they need.
Well, those are vital services indeed. And what would these folks do if they didn't have your help? I mean, that we don't want to really think about that, but without your help and services, they wouldn't be getting any of those things.
They may not. This is food delivered to their door, which includes a wellness check. So somebody is making sure that the person is up and answering the door. They're getting food. We deliver 12 meals, so that's lunch and dinner, so for 6 days a week, that they can just prepare, even if they don't have a full kitchen in wherever their home is.
That's right.
And without this, people would have to find a way to maybe get to a food pantry, get to the grocery store, and with the types of illnesses that the people we serve have, that isn't always possible and can be expensive, and now, at this time, is dangerous.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And thank you for reminding me. I knew that you guys were founded, helping originally AIDS patients, but I don't think people often think about that as another pandemic that mm-hmm. we've lived through, and or some of us have, depending on how old you are. But that's an important parallel, I think. Have you kind of leaned on that a little bit about how to serve in such difficult situations like that? I'm sure that's come in handy with the background of the organization and how there's a little similarity there.
It has. It has reminded us of our roots at that time. It's given us hope to know that we will get through this pandemic, that we will learn, and we have been learning how to support people with chronic and long-term illnesses at a time when contact can be dangerous. It's reminded us that reaching out and making sure people have someone who care for them is so, so important. We're doing contactless delivery now, but we're still making sure that there is a connection. Our drivers are making sure the person comes to the door, calling them on the phone. Our nutritionists are providing phone support. So we've really looked at our roots in that pandemic and also the care and concern of the community that rallied around people in some of their last days during the AIDS pandemic. And now, really, so many people through financial support and other support have been rallying around folks affected by the COVID pandemic and the people who are most vulnerable at this time.
Mm-hmm. Fighting other illnesses with those compromised immune systems, which you hear about a lot. And so how has the organization grown over the past 30-plus years? By that I mean, expanded services, expanded reach. Now more than ever, I'm sure your numbers are increasing of those who have the need.
Well, we now are in 15 counties in Maryland. So we serve all the way up to the Pennsylvania line and over to the Eastern Shore. So geographically, we've grown because of the need. And as I mentioned before, we are serving people with other types of illnesses beyond HIV/AIDS.
Right.
Because we know that food is medicine. Food provides, healthy food provides to people with chronic and long-term illnesses a way to treat their disease and also to stay healthy in their homes. So we've looked at other diseases and such as diabetes, such as kidney disease, and heart disease, and also other situations, people coming out of the hospital or people receiving cancer treatments, and know that food is medicine for them as well.
Mm-hmm. And I just saw, not to interrupt you, but I just saw a piece on the news the other day that about someone who was awaiting a kidney donation, and a lot of those, surgeries have been sort of postponed from the pandemic, and so it's just kind of delays things. So say if someone's on dialysis and they still, they're going to be needing your services for a longer period of time. And as they recover, when they receive it, it's not getting any easier right now. There are more and more challenges, it seems.
That is correct. I mean, if you think about people with a chronic illness or a life-threatening illness, they have so many challenges, financial, logistical. They're just their spirit to keep going. And then when leaving the house becomes dangerous or medical treatment becomes harder to access, the fact that they can still receive a healthy, fresh meal delivered to their door is so important.
It really is. And then we've talked a little bit about, who is Movable Feast. Like by that, we mean, we've learned about a little bit about who you serve and who supports your work. But now might be a good time to bring up that volunteer aspect that we were talking about, your staff, your board members, your fundraisers. How are we able to help you out? How are they able to get the job done during the pandemic like this?
Sure. So we previously would have over 150 volunteers a week helping to produce and deliver our meals. Of course, in March, that went down to zero
yeah.
until we knew how we could do this safely. So we are slowly introducing volunteers back into our operations. We do have volunteer drivers, so we've gone to a contactless delivery system where drivers pick up our meals here at our offices and then in our kitchen and then deliver them. They leave them at the doorstep. They make sure that the person is able to pick them up and contact them through the phone. So we have volunteers doing that. We have slowly introduced volunteers back into our kitchen. Right now it's people who volunteered with us in the past because we are maintaining social distancing, you know, protective equipment, and making sure, you know, hand sanitizing, hand washing, all of those things.
So, right. Because if you reintroduced a new person, which you will ultimately will have to do, probably you have to have that 2-week quarantine period, depending on where they've been, who they've been with, and contact tracing, all that stuff. So it's always as you're doing all of the steps that you need to make sure that everybody's careful. So it sounds like for sure the organization has been impacted by COVID-19. And how is it, you guys are known for things like Ride for the Feast and Dine Out for Life and all those great fundraising activities. How have your volunteer efforts, how have you sort of shifted things? And nothing like a new challenge. We're going to get to how you're relatively new as executive director. You're coming in and they're like, okay, this is what we normally do, but this is a whole new ball game here. Well, welcome, Sue. You know, it kind of is sort of like what you're living through right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, our services could not go virtual. So we have been serving our kitchen staff, our drivers. They've just been absolutely amazing. But our events have had to go virtual. And these are events that help support us all year long. I mean, we have raised significant amounts of money through these in the past. So our Ride for the Feast was in May, and it very quickly changed to a virtual event where our fundraisers rode at home. They rode around the block, or they rode on their bicycles at home indoors. They had their kids on their bikes riding around their blocks or on a trail and had people support them. And we were able to raise over $500,000 that way.
That's great. That's amazing. Actually, that sounds kind of fun, doesn't it? I mean, like, you know, one thing we've learned is more family time, more, you know, doing things. You could still, you know, do it on your own, take a video, post it on social media. I mean, it's not like it's shut down completely. I mean, you were able to raise over $500,000. That's amazing.
People are generous, and especially now, they know about food insecurity, and they know about the challenges that the people we serve are facing, and they want to find a way to help. And so we were going to make sure that we could do that through the Ride for the Feast, and people, they came out, and they did it. And now we're doing our new event, our next event, which is Dining Out for Life, which has also had to change because of the pandemic.
Absolutely. Can you tell us, for people that aren't familiar, a little bit about this event historically? And then would you call it maybe your most well-known, I would say, fundraiser maybe? Or definitely the largest, I guess?
I think people are very familiar with it because it has been supported by so many restaurants. So in the past, our restaurant partners who've been so generous would designate a portion of the proceeds on a single evening towards to supporting Movable Feast. And so we would get people to go out to dinner, we would have ambassadors at those restaurants, and then the restaurant would give a portion of the proceeds. Well, we can't do that this year. Our restaurant partners are hurting, also people are not able to go out to eat. So what we have done is designated Thursdays, Takeout Thursday, and we're asking people to support our generous restaurant sponsors. We have over 50 restaurants that have supported us through the years that are listed on our website, and we're asking people to go to those restaurants, get takeout food, enjoy it at home with their friends, go on Facebook, share what they're doing, and then make a matching donation to Movable Feast. So it's really win-win-win in that you get great food from our restaurant partners. Our restaurant partners get supported when they need it. And then someone gets meals delivered right to their home at a time when they need it most.
That's a great idea. So now tell us, is that happening right now, or do you have a period of dates? Is it effective now through whenever we need it, or is there a specific time frame for Dining Out for Life via Takeout Thursday this year?
So it's now through September 17th. And you can do it any time, but we're really focusing on those Takeout Thursdays. We have upcoming Facebook Live events on August 20th and September 3rd, and then we'll have a culminating event on September 17th. So you can go on our Facebook page, see live music, or we have someone coming and doing some restaurant reviews. Recently, we had our dietitians talk about Beat the Heat meals. And then, so that's a time where, again, we're bringing the community together to raise awareness about the need for food as medicine at this time, but also to raise those funds that are so essential for us to keep doing our work.
Wow, this it sounds like you're really utilizing social media, which is important now more than ever because we're all kind of, some of us are still at home working or on our phones or and Takeout Thursday, that's great because, as you know, it's a little overwhelming one trying to keep track of, you know, the city's sanctions, like are you open inside or out or is it just takeout or carryout? But takeout's something that is kind of, knock on wood, it's always sort of been there, right, as like the safest way, you know, to dine. You know, that doesn't usually go away. So that's a great thing to remind people that they can participate between now and September 17th for Takeout Thursday. Are there any of those, not to put you on the spot, but are there any of those particular restaurant partners that are available on your website, which is mfeast.org, by the way, that you want to give a shout out to that have been like particularly helpful or supportive in your efforts?
Oh, they have been so great over the years. I know Gertrude's, Blue Pit Barbecue, Atwater's. If you're interested in just ice cream, you can go to the Charmery to get ice cream.
That's great.
Linwood's, all of those, they're all listed on our website.
Oh, they're all great places. And again, they have a struggle of their own of a different kind. So the fact that you guys are working in tandem, I think, is fantastic. And so do you have any specific goals or hopes, short or long term, for the organization? I feel like you're back in your interviewing for the executive director position. But, you know, how do you kind of work that in? Because your days sound like they are quite busy.
Well, yes, they are. But we're really committed to making sure that we continue serving our clients during this time. And so from day one, we've continued to serve close to 700 people, delivering 8,000 meals a week. And that is really what our short-term goal is, to keep doing that with the medically tailored meals that we do produce and being able to deliver them. We've had to shift some things, but we have continued to do it throughout the pandemic, and that's really what our goal is for the rest of the year, as well as being able to safely reintroduce volunteers into our kitchen, because that's really important to have the whole community together to make this happen. And then longer term, it's looking at what are the lessons that we learned about the services that we provide, and is there a way to continue growing? Because we certainly have people on our wait list that we're not able to serve right now, and we'd like to be able to serve in the future.
Right. So what does that take? Is it just a matter of someone who doesn't need your services anymore, then a slot opens up, or is it like when it's safer to bring more people in to help, you can help more people, or is that kind of contingent upon a lot of different things, I'd imagine?
It is. So we do have people that come on and off, so that people who need our service, so maybe they need our services during cancer treatment, but then they don't after that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're able to take somebody off the wait list. We certainly had people come onto our service who were affected by COVID. They had COVID and now have to stay in their homes and need meals there. It's really a matter of resources. Really what determines how many people we can serve depends on the funds that we have. And so it's really amazing that people have rallied behind us and have gone above and beyond to donate to us, and hopefully we'll continue to do that to make sure that we can serve more and more people.
That's great. And then how do people find out about your services? Like, and are you you work with, I know, the Kidney Foundation and Komen Maryland, just to name a few, but what if there's like, are there any nonprofits out there that you know, what if they don't work with you currently and want to, or how do people sort of find out about your services?
So most people are referred to us through a doctor or through a support professional, a caseworker. That's how they are able to sign up for our meals. So we do have nonprofit partners. And our hospitals and insurance companies, they know that providing food in the home is good for everyone. It's good for the people that we're serving. It's less expensive than emergency care, so they're referring our clients to us so that we can deliver food to them.
Gotcha. And on your team personally, you know, as executive director, you're probably working with some folks that have been there, you know, longer than you have, or maybe just started when you did. Is there anyone on your team, I know you don't do it alone, that you want to sort of spotlight, or some other layers of the organization that, you know, how you get the job done and how we can help them accomplish that, you know?
Sure. Well, I have to give a really huge shout out to our kitchen staff. They have been in the kitchen, you know, it's six people doing what 100 some people had done in the past.
Right? Oh,
and
man.
They are working so hard to make sure that everyone gets the food that they need, and our drivers who have, you know, on hot days like this, they are delivering, and those staff have been able to adapt how they do their business and how they make things happen, and they've done it in such a dedicated way, committed with a smile on their face, knowing that the work they're doing is making a difference.
Talk about an essential employee. I mean, you hear that a lot, but that's so true. You couldn't do what you do without them.
No, we could not.
And everybody is doing more in the pandemic, whatever field you might be in. But if you're talking about accomplishing, getting all those healthy meals together in a safe way to the people who need them in a timely fashion, who are relying on your services, that's a deadline that has to be met. And so how can we help them? I know there's, you know, certain restrictions for social distancing and whatnot that we all kind of have to adhere to, of course. But is there a way that is the best way to help out your organization through a monetary donation or your time when you're able to? And how can we do that? Is that all as easy as going to the website?
Yes. You can go to our website, mfeast.org. A monetary donation is just the perfect way to support us right now. And we are also taking volunteers for our volunteer drivers. And you can certainly contact us about volunteering in our kitchen. And if you haven't volunteered with us before, we'll keep you posted to when we are able to have volunteers back who haven't been with us in the past.
Gotcha. And this is a question just because I'm not much of a cook, but is any sort of culinary skill or background required in that, or is it kind of like whoever wants to help can be trained to help?
We train everyone. Anyone can help. We let our expert kitchen staff and chef take care of the menus and the food, and the rest of us, we pack and scoop and get those meals, those 8,000 meals together to go out the door.
That is great to know. And is there anything else like promotionally on the calendar? Again, maybe reiterate real quick about the Dining Out for Life virtual takeout Thursday, the dates for that and how people can participate, because that's, you know, we're right in the thick of that. So we really want to get a lot of, that's an easy way. You know, because people, you get hungry around 5 o'clock anyway, right? Why not take out Thursday and help people who need it?
Right. mfeast.org/diningoutforlife. We have events coming up on our Facebook Live page, August 20th, September 3rd, and September 17th. And on there are the list of all of our participating restaurants. And we really would love it if people could support both them and the people that we serve who are getting our meals from Movable Feast.
And you guys have a great website, mfeast.org. Again, you can get those direct links that to find those important social media things. As you mentioned, Facebook Lives are becoming increasingly more important and helpful. Instagram, great way to get information out about Takeout Thursday. You know how everyone loves their food pics. You can post it up there and share the information about how their friends can help. Also on Twitter and LinkedIn. And thank you for the follow back, by the way. I looked up Sue Elias, who we've been talking to, the new executive director of Movable Feast. And it was nice that you followed me back, because it's you know, a contact to make. Like, you know, this show is all about, you know, giving a spotlight for a half an hour or so to nonprofits and letting people know, if they didn't know the work that you do, how they can get involved, and whether that skill set matches or not, it doesn't really matter. It's like, if you have the time and the desire, there's people who need your help. And we want to thank you for all that you do every single day. How do you get it all done?
Well, it's a lot of committed people. And I said, I really believe in the power of a community, and it is the community, it is the folks who are willing to donate, it is the board, it is our staff, it is our volunteer drivers, it's the people working and coming in, working the kitchen. It's all of us together who are doing that.
Absolutely. And what would you say your greatest need is right now as we are wrapping things up here, if you could guess?
I would say our greatest need is if you can provide a financial donation, if you can provide just match of a one takeout meal so that you can provide a meal to someone who has a life-threatening or chronic illness.
Yeah.
That would be wonderful.
That's awesome. And then people love breakdowns. Like, so say you can donate that. Then where does that money go? Like, you know, does $5 pay for this, that? You know how you have sort of like the breakdown of what $5, $10, $15, $25 can do, that sort of thing, so people know kind of where their money's going?
Sure. One takeout meal is going to give a day's worth of meals to someone who is delivered right to their door to someone with a chronic illness. So, you know, $15 is going to give two meals to someone in need.
Right. Wow. And we don't have to be great at math to realize the more you give, the more you can help, right? Absolutely. Well, is there anything else that you want to say, Sue Elias, that I have forgotten to ask you or that, you know, just sort of escaped somehow? Is there anything that we haven't told people that need to know?
No, thank you so much, Gina, for supporting us. I mean, we've been keeping our operations going without interruption, and we want to keep doing that, and we're committed to keep doing that. And we're also trying to raise $100,000 for Dining Out for Life, so we really appreciate everyone's support to make that happen.
$100,000, okay, and that's as simple as participating between now and September 17th in Takeout Thursday. You go to mfeast.org, the website, which is a wealth of information about everything we've talked about today, to find out those important dining partners. And you know, support them, you get the word out, you know, share that information with your friends. Would it be a great idea if there's any corporations listening that want to do it, like with their staff, whether they're virtual or not these days? We're kind of half and half. But, you know, this is something that's easy that anybody can help participate in, you know?
Mm-hmm. It is. And you can, on our website, you can find out how to throw a virtual dinner party. So it's about having fun while we're providing a critical service.
I love it. Absolutely. You guys are getting creative, which is just really phenomenal. So thank you again. Sue Elias has been my guest, the new executive director of Movable Feast right here in Baltimore and, you know, beyond. You said 15 counties and Pennsylvania and into the Eastern Shore, right?
Yes.
So we don't want to forget those partners that you have as well. mfeast.org for more information. You can find me on social media on the platforms as well at Gina Crash. We want to thank you for listening. This has been a production of Entercom Baltimore.